What's going on? This is Hoppy Hour. I am your host, Ryan Hoppy, and on the phone line is somebody I grew up listening to in Chicago. On the phone line is the one and only Trey the Chocolate Jock. He is on Hoppy Hour. What's going on, bro?
Hey, what's up, man? Yeah, started off by making me feel old, right? Why not?
Yeah, I'm sorry about that, because I feel weird whenever you share those memories about how you helped begin Power 92 in Chicago, and I kind of like... I relate to it in the way that I just loved it growing up when you were on it and the Hot Boys at Night. Like, I listened to it all the time in the suburbs. I adored Power 92, and I do now. But it's so funny whenever I comment that I feel like I'm making you feel old when I'm like, man, when I was listening to you at the bus and it was negative 20 out, like, you don't know how much it was you and Eddie and Jobo I would flip back and forth with. Sometimes Drex, but it was you two. You guys got me through the morning, man. My dad would never let me, he would never drive me to class. And at the moment I was mad, but now I'm glad he taught me to be responsible. So it would be negative 20 out. I would have to shovel the snow and I would have you guys on in the morning. And you guys just made my morning so much better back in the day.
You know what, man? It's crazy because I'm getting a lot of that, man. You grew up just on YouTube the other day, actually Saturday, and just scrolling, because I'm Alex Dupree and I, my co-host on my podcast, we're putting together like a documentary on some things. I don't really want to speak too much on it, so I'm just on YouTube searching, and this guy was like, he was talking about Chicago radio in the early 2000s, mid 2000s, and he had my name there, and I'm like, what is this guy talking about? So he basically said the same thing you said. He grew up listening to me. And I'm like, you guys know I was just in my early 20s when this was happening, right? So, you know, I'm just making 40. So, but no, I appreciate it, man. And I've been watching you over the years.
Yeah.
And I just want to shout out to you. You've been doing your thing. You know, you were on the air in Cleveland doing the thing on the show. And seems like you've found a home there in Tampa, and you're doing your thing, and you're spreading out, and you're on the air. So kudos to you, man, because, you know, this is a marathon. You never stop. You just got to keep going.
Oh, yeah, and I guess I would move if there's another opportunity, but we're in the middle of a pandemic, and I don't really see any openings, and I'm just kind of never been happier in Tampa, because doesn't it feel good when you work somewhere and, like, you begin to, like, make it feel like home? Like, it's a job to you, but Absolutely. There's something about when it begins to feel like home is where it's kind of refreshing.
Yeah, you seem happy, man. You got a cute chick going. You're down in sunny Florida, man. It must be the life, you know?
How do you like
it? Must be the life for you.
How do you like it in Texas? Because I know from what I've, when I've listened to your show on air and when I've watched your interviews online, what I really like is that you bring that Chicago attitude, the Chicago swagger, and like the major market sound to Texas. So how much work does that take to bring it to a smaller market, but show everybody this is how real hip hop radio is done?
Well, it's funny you say that, because that is what I try to do. I implement everything that I've done in a major market, and I just bring it down here to the smaller market that I am. So, I am, of course, I'm on air here, but I also oversee 5 different radio stations. I also have R&B station, a hip-hop station. I have a country station. We have a classic rock station, and I also run a news talk station. So I apply all of what I've learned in Chicago from listening to WBBM and you know, I was about to say US 105. That's the one down here, but US 99 in Chicago. So I just take what I've learned from the bigger markets and just brought it down here. And life is beautiful, man. Life is great down here in Texas. Cannot complain at all.
What's the best part about living in Texas that you didn't think you would find out when you lived in Chicago?
The fun I'd have. You know, I'm outside of Austin, Texas, like right on the Fort Hood base, Fort Hood Army base, the biggest installation in the U.S. of Army bases. So, I'm 2 hours from San Antonio. I'm an hour from Austin. I'm 2 hours from Dallas. I'm 3 hours from Houston. So I'm right in the middle of Texas, and just all the fun that I'm having, you know, just exploring the stuff that is, you know, normal to most Texans is a wow factor for me, you know. So I'm loving it down here. They eat a lot of barbecue.
And the best part about when you move to a different market, because Cleveland was essentially just like an armpit Chicago. Like, there really wasn't that much of a difference. Yeah. It just wasn't Chicago. But, like, when you move from, like, Chicago to Florida, and then I'm guessing Chicago to Texas, it's kind of fun being the, like, hardworking Midwest transplant where the things that Texas people or the things that Florida people would find normal, you're like, what the hell?
Right. Well, in the part I'm in Texas, like I said, Fort Hood on the Army base, there's a melting pot of cultures here. So you got people from New York and Florida, from Philadelphia, from Detroit. They're all over. And I've been told that where I am is the most un-Texas town in Texas. So, you know, what I'm bringing is just an addition to what's already down here in terms of, and there's a lot of people here from Chicago. I go out to different restaurants. Oh, man, I grew up listening. I get that. I grew up listening to you a lot while I'm down here. So, yeah, man, it's not that much. It hasn't been that much of a culture shock because, like I said, the people who are here in this particular area in Texas are not from Texas. So, you know, they're liking what I'm bringing here.
When you were working at Power 92 and you wrote in that post that you came up with the slogan and you were there since day one, did you know in the moment that you were making an impact on people's lives? Like, did you know that you were bringing a new flavor to Chicago radio, or were you just kind of going for the ride?
No, we knew because people were looking for an alternate to WGCI. So we knew that we were presenting something different and everybody wants to run to what's new. You know, so we knew we were doing something different, that we knew that this was groundbreaking. We knew that it was historic. But I think we wasn't, what's the word here? We weren't appreciating it. Let's put it like that. We weren't appreciating it, you know. But I look back on it and I look at old pictures and I'm like, wow, that was great. That was a great time. So, yeah, we knew what we were doing at the time.
What I liked, and this is coming from me being a diehard radio fan, but you would have like really good production on your morning show, and I don't think you really got that anywhere else in Chicago radio because it was all corporate. It was like you would have these like sound effects when you were going into a news break or something, and like just kind of like laying there, and because I grew up very middle class, so like my house was like a smaller version of the house in Roseanne or Married with Children. So I was always freezing. Mm-hmm. I had a heater in my room, and there was something about the way with all the sounds on your morning show, it like kind of like set the mood of like me waking up. So like, were you aware that like the way you guys were sounding was different than everybody else?
Well, I worked on a morning show. I worked on Crazy Howard McGee's morning show on WGCI. And I also was producer of that show. And as the producer, you're behind the scenes. So, you know, I'm helping. I was really like a paid gopher. You know, I'd be the guy that would go get the breakfast for the morning show or go to the store if somebody needed something. But, of course, I was running the board. And, you know, I run the morning show. And it was a whole lot of bells and whistles that would happen during his morning show that basically I think I was a good candidate. Well, I was told that I was a candidate for the morning show because I had worked on a morning show before. Yeah. So I know, you know, how to do it, you know, how to, you know, if something happened in the news, you know, hurry up and spoof it, hurry up and give a, you know, make fun of it. So I that was one of the elements I learned, but learning behind, Kelly G and those guys at WGCI, that kind of put me in the mode of, you know, we're doing a show. So if, you know, there's something to clap about, play the applause. You know, if somebody did something horrible, hit the boo button, you know. So it's all a part of just theater of the mind, you know what I'm saying? And I always try to, even today, I always try to, you know, paint that picture in the people's minds.
Were you at WGCI working on the morning show? Because I think I've read about it somewhere. And Robert Feeder, he'll share the Robert Feeder will share memories of what happened on that day. Were you working on the morning show the morning when Man Cow's Morning Madhouse like flipped the like frequency
when they were on GCI?
Yeah.
No, I was not. But I was at home listening to that, and that was so crazy because at the time the morning show was they were transitioning. It was. It was Steve Harvey that was doing mornings. And at that time, when Steve Harvey left, because Steve Harvey was doing a morning show at WGCI, and then he abandoned them. He stopped coming. He stopped showing up.
Wow.
Because he was doing the show in L.A.
Yeah.
So for a period of time, they had the producer at the time, who was Jimmy Jam, and they had his co-host, Gene Sparrow. So it was those two that went to do Man Cow Show on Q101, and it was Man Cow and his crew that came over to GCI, and that was hilarious. But no, I was a senior in high school, but I remember listening to how crazy that was. Yeah, man.
Good old days. Does it make you kind of, I don't want to use the word sad, but to me, I would say the only personality radio that's left in Chicago, I would say that's non-talk radio, is probably Fred on Kiss FM. Besides, and I am also a little bit biased because I've been friends with him for 8 years, but it just seems like that era, man, of like, I guess you could say Man Kyle, Crazy Howard McGee, you, Eddie and Jobo, Drex, even Eric and Kathy, like back in the day. Like it seems like that era of like exciting Chicago radio. Like when I go back, I only listen to Fred. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I haven't listened to any of those shows, man. I'm, you know, completely honed in on my market in Texas. But when I go home, so the thinking of radio these days is, if you're outside of the morning show, we don't want you to talk long. We don't want you to have any personality. Just go in there and play the music and talk about what's happening on the radio station. And, you know, that's it. We'll pay you some money, and that's about it. So you can't be on in the morning. I mean, you can't be on outside of morning drive and, you know, have an entertaining show. So that's really what it is in morning drive. And certain companies are like, set up, play the music, you know, outside of morning drive, you know. So I don't know, man. It's different these days. You know, PDs are looking for different, more so social media these days. If you're a star on social media, people start putting you on the radio, you know. And that doesn't take away from you being a social media star and you're on the radio, but it takes away the fact of coaching a radio personality to be compelling and entertaining and memorable, you know. So it's a different level of playing these days, you know. I don't necessarily agree with it, but, I mean, it is what it is, you know. I think it'll eventually come back to a personality radio, because people, when you turn on the radio today, I can go on YouTube and Pandora and Apple Music or whatever to hear what I want to hear in terms of music, and I don't have to wait and pay attention to commercials of products I'm not going to get or buy. I can easily just go and play my music on demand. When I'm listening to the radio, I want to hear, what do you think about the George Floyd trial? What do you think about the Capitol riots? What do you think about, you know, this type of stuff? So I just think more PDs need to coach their talent as of being personalities, as opposed to just being like hype men and hype women on the radio, you know?
Yeah.
It's a different day, man.
It was weird. So I was driving around, man, that Derek Chauvin guilty verdict is just like a memory I'll never forget. I'll never forget this. Mm-hmm. So I was at the laundromat, and I was going on like 425, 430, and our local news is called Bay News 9, and they were like covering it, and they were covering it really well. This local news reporter was doing a great job. And then I'm like, I want to go home and watch the verdict because I'm done with the laundry. So I'm driving home from the laundromat, and I turn on the radio, and we're like 29 minutes away from like 5 or 501 when it was red, and like nobody was covering it besides where I work at, 102.5 The Bone. And to me, man, that was the most 2021 way to explain radio, is something that is going to be talked about forever and kids will learn about in class. Music radio is like, no, we got to play the same Doja Cat song. And I just thought that was sad, man.
Yeah, that's the date. That's the time and age that we're in, man. And, you know, sometimes this isn't done on purpose. You know, if you're a music station, play the music. If you want to hear news, turn to the news station. So that's how it is. But I understand what you're saying. Like, no matter what time of day it is, if there's news or cutting breaking news, you know, let's talk about it. That's what radio is for. But, you know, these, and I always say this, you can't tell a radio owner what to do with their radio station until you own the actual station. So that's the age we live in these days, man.
I think this too, and this might be me being very optimist, Trey, and you can shut it down real quick, but I just think nobody has balls anymore, bro. Like, I feel like all, like, you guys had so much confidence and guts to begin Power 92 and go after WGCI, and I feel like because radio is so cookie cutter, I feel like that's why it went from 98% of people listening every day to 86 in the last 10 years is because it's the same thing. I feel like people don't want to take risks anymore. And I feel like radio executives or consultants or whoever's running this big game, I think they need to realize that you need to roll the dice. But that might just be me.
No, you're right. This day and age is like with the pandemic and people losing revenue and all of that. And before the pandemic, there was a recession we were going through and coming out of it. A lot of people aren't equipped to take risks these days. Roll with what you know that works.
Yeah.
You know, that's why you keep seeing Howard Stern renewed for 10 years. And before he died, Rush Limbaugh, you know, renewed for so many years or whatever. Because, I mean, number one, if it's working, let's keep it working. And number two, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So if I'm making X amount of dollars with this, then I don't want to keep trying new innovative stuff. I may lose. And it's really competitive out here. So companies are just, you know, staying smart these days and safe. Staying smart and safe. That's really what it all boils down to.
What do you think it's going to do to radio in the long run? Because all the talent, I don't want to make everybody sound old, but like, they're getting older, and it feels like besides a few examples in a few cities, they're not really growing talent. So how do you see this playing out? And also in Texas, what do you do to scout talent, to bring people in, to hire people?
Okay, so the first part of your question, I don't think radio is going anywhere. I think it'll always be around. I think, I think it'll always be around. They'll always be innovative. I think Pandora's starting radio where, you know, they're going to have jocks on Pandora. You got satellite radio out here. You know, we just have people who are doing live Facebook shows and that type of stuff. The medium will evolve, but I think radio will still stay the same. You know, it all started in the early 90s, mid 90s, where they started having entertaining morning shows on TV. You know, and people were asking what happened to morning radio. You know, where you have shows like, for instance, that's a morning show that's on TV, like in Chicago, the WGN Morning News.
Yeah,
that's a news show, but it's also a morning show because they're wacky, they're goofy, and they're also giving you information as well. You had shows like you know, Good Morning America. I'm trying to think of just morning shows. You go across the country, you have your local shows where they're just doing, you know, entertaining, and radio has still stood the test of time throughout all of that. So I think it'll always be the same. Radio will always stay the same. Other mediums will evolve. What I'm doing here in Texas, basically, so being that this is a smaller market, I have a lot of automation. You know, I only have like two live people on the air on each station. That's what I'm on. I'm on social media. Who's on social media? How well are you engaging your audience? Because 1995, or even 2005, it was who had the hottest demo, who had the hottest air check or whatever. Now it's how many followers do you have, and what are you doing to engage your followers? We don't care if you have any radio sense of humor or any training in that. How many followers do you have? Because people in these companies are thinking money.
Yeah.
If I have a guy on who's making who has 5,000 followers, and I can promote my product on his Instagram or whatever, and I can give this person a product to be a social influencer or whatever, I'm going to roll with that person because I know that this person is bringing in results. You know, same way with radio and comedians, they know that this person has already had a certain amount of notoriety. And they're going to bring their audience to my audience. So that's what it's all about these days, you being able to engage an audience and bring your audience with you.
So before I let you go, I ask this to all my guests, and I think you'll have a good answer. When it's all said and done, how do you want people to remember Trey the Chocolate Jock on the radio?
The guy who had memorable moments. You know, I still have people that inbox me or just, I remember when you hung up on Russell Simmons. I remember when Superhead hung up on you. I remember when Rick Ross tried to fight you. These are things that have happened like 15, 16 years ago that people are still, like I had a soap opera, a produced soap opera on the air called Dim Damn Rat. It's on YouTube now, actually. People still to this day are asking, I miss them damn rats. This is stuff that has happened 15, 16 years ago when I did mornings that people still remember. So just remember, man, you are a powerful personality when you can do things and people remember those things and they stick with you, you know? So yeah, that's that. You remember what I did on the air, that I was the guy who raised eyebrows. Because remember, people remember those people as opposed to just a regular jock, a regular guy just being on the radio, you know, talking in front of a ramp to a song and that, you know, if you're a liner jock, personalities get in. If personalities are more remembered than just regular jocks. So just remember that. I'm going to remember something that Howard Stern said on the radio before I remember something that just pick a jock, you know, that's on the air overnights or whatever. You see what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
'Cause these are people who have made a stamp in their market or who they're catering themselves to.
For people that want to check out everything you're up to and the different attitude you bring to radio, where can they find you online and on the radio?
Well, I'm on the air every day, Monday through Friday at B106, myb106.com here in Central Texas. And I'm on all social media at Treyda CJ, TREYDACJ. Just follow me. I'll follow you back, and you can come into my world and see the cool life that I live.
Well, dude, it's been a lot of fun having you on the show. It's crazy because I just was a big fan of what you did growing up. So keep up the good work. And if you're ever in Tampa Bay, hit me up.
I sure will. You keep up the good luck down there as well, man. You have a bright future. So keep going, dude.
Awesome. Thank you, bro.
All right, man.
All right. Peace.